Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Smarts and Stripes Podcast. We cover every bump, every spot, and chat with all the talent around the world of wrestling. Here's your host, Bill Matz, former WWE referee Kevin Keenan, and Eric Golden.
What's going on, everyone? Come on in, sit down, and enjoy some Smarts and Stripes. I'm Kevin Keenan, along with Eric the Turtle Golden.
That's me.
Is that you?
That is me.
Ah.
People tell me it's not me sometimes, but it really is me.
Oh, well, I'm glad we got that out of the way. Big, big news to start this show today, along with my one-on-one conversation with the former Big Cass, Kaz XL, coming later in the show. But first, let's get to this. We have some major breaking news in the world of sports entertainment. More importantly, in the world of WWE, as WWE has struck a deal to move NXT to the USA Network starting September 18th, expanding the show to 2 hours from its one-hour format on the WWE Network. But this begs the question, Turtle, with WWE and, well, WWE NXT, rather, getting a jump start on the Wednesday Night Wars with AEW coming to TNT only a few weeks later, are we on the cusp of a wrestling boom?
I can't wait, and I really hope so. It's fantastic for the fan. Let's take out what it means for WWE. Let's take away what it means for AEW just for a second here. And this is what it means for a fan. I forget the Twitter account that I saw this on earlier, but somebody tweeted that it would be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, whether it's the two companies we're speaking of, or ROH, or New Japan, or Impact, or whatever, there's going to be dueling wrestling shows on each night. And it's going to be fantastic for the fan.
So let me think about this. So we have Monday.
So it'll be Raw.
We have Monday Raw, Tuesday SmackDown, but it's going to get moved to Friday. Wednesday, we already know the matchup there. So what's the Friday show?
I'm trying to find this tweet right here real quick. But regardless of exactly who's going up against who and what it is. Okay, here he is. This is per Wrestling Covers. I'm sure a lot of people know this guy on Twitter, but he just put it out there, which is great. Mondays are Ring of Honor and Raw. So I guess Ring of Honor does a TV taping or whatever. Wednesdays are going to be both AEW and NXT. And Fridays are going to be SmackDown and Impact.
Oh, that's right. And we're also forgetting, not that it's a big needle mover, but we're also forgetting New Japan over on Axis.
Yeah. It's good for the fans. Doesn't mean anything else for the companies at this exact second, but it's good for the fans.
So as per an article on Variety.com, NXT will shift to USA from the WWE Network subscription streaming service as of September 18th. This deal comes as USA is about to lose SmackDown as they head over to Fox starting in October. USA is also adding the Wednesday night show as WWE faces new challenges. Again, this is per a Variety.com article. New challenges starting October 2nd with All Elite Wrestling. Was this a panic move on behalf of WWE, Turtle?
I don't know that it was a panic move, but it's clearly a move that says we see you. I don't know that they're scared or worried or by any means. But it's definitely a, I see you move, and if they can, why wouldn't they counter program?
My thing about this is right now, look, AEW is the shiny new toy, right?
Correct.
It's getting all the buzz. It's cool. It's something new. The business needs something new. This
Absolutely.
Is fantastic. AEW for what it is right now, and it's not much. We don't know much about it. There's been a few shows under their belt. We're going to see a lot more of that. Come their TNT debut on October 2nd. But I'm not so sure. I don't know how to say this. I'm not so sure their competition to the WWE right now. And I think they have a long way to go until they're even a blimp on WWE's radar, even though clearly, what I'm saying sounds counterproductive to one another.
No, I get you. But it's a double-edged sword with this. It's a we see you move, and it's, I think, I hope, as long as Triple H holds on control of this, and it's not Vince, but that's just me speculating and nothing set in stone.
Yeah, that narrative that I saw on Twitter.
NXT.
That narrative that I saw on Twitter, I completely disagree. I disagree with it completely.
I fought with somebody on Twitter today about it, and the guy's like, well, they sold out 5 shows. I'm like, okay, so the hundreds of thousands of shows that WWE sold out means nothing?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that doesn't matter. It's clearly an AEW fan. That's good for him.
That's
fine. Be a fan of what you want. But the point is, it gives the wrestling fan, to circle back to the beginning, it gives the wrestling fan more options, number one. And hopefully, while I could vouch for the quality of Raw and SmackDown, and sometimes it varies, and definitely NXT, which has been really good for a while, and hopefully AEW being the same, it gives the wrestling fan good TV. Because we don't have to choose. They do. It's just the way... I'm excited. NXT is typically an hour long. It's now going to 2 hours. I get to see more of Velveteen Dream. I get to see more of, we were talking about earlier in the day today, Bianca Belair. And hopefully when Dakota Kai comes back, she was entertaining to me too. I'm a little more edgier type of Bayley.
Well, what this does is, by expanding the NXT format to 2 hours, is it gets more guys on television as well.
Yeah.
As opposed to just having an hour on the network every week. There's only so many spots. Now... Yeah. There's going to be more opportunities
for guys. Typical NXT look? 3 matches and a couple storylines
sure.
for the hour?
But it'll be something more of a chance for guys to become stars. You mentioned a couple seconds ago about making a choice, and Chris Jericho had a very interesting tweet just a couple hours ago. I'm going to read it to you. At I Am Jericho. Congrats to WWE NXT for making the big move to USA Network. Runners always race faster when somebody is right behind them. Going to be fun to see which team the world decides to join. You agree with that?
All of it, except the which team the world decides to join. Because they'll naturally be WWE diehards. They'll naturally be NXT diehards. That's how it works in TV and radio and in Game of Thrones. It, like, you just naturally fall into the side of one or the other. But the general wrestling fan, the one I hope these are all being trying to attract to, because the hardcore fan is going to be there regardless. The hardcore fan is going to buy, like we spoke about in previous episodes, is going to buy the same ticket to All Out, Double Out, Fall Out, whatever, and they're going to buy the same ticket to Backlash or whatever it is. They're going to buy they're always going to be there. I have a cousin who's a diehard fan. He buys tickets to everything, no matter how good or bad the product is. But what I hope, this with TNT and this with USA for NXT and AEW, it tries to attract the average fan. And the average fan doesn't have to choose. The average fan's going to, I'm the average fan. We've talked about this many times. I'm going to watch one live, if I'm able to do so, aside from work schedule, and one on DVR. It doesn't matter which to me. It doesn't matter which is first. And the storyline will be what it is. If I want to see Jericho versus Omega, I'll watch that first. If I want to see Velveteen Dream versus Adam Cole, I'll watch that first. It doesn't matter. I don't have to choose.
Vince McMahon was quoted as saying earlier today, the move to the USA Network provides an opportunity for us to deepen our relationship with NBC Universal and further build the NXT brand. Over our long-term goal is to develop a following that can be monetized to the same level as our flagship programs, Raw and SmackDown.
It's a legitimate third brand now.
And I'm actually going to get into that with Big Cass here in just a little while. We did speak about how this is now a legitimate third brand. You can hear my one-on-one interview with the former Big Cass coming up here in a second. But back to Vince quickly. Is there an ulterior motive here that Vince isn't bringing to the forefront? Yeah, I know what you have to say in public, but is he secretly hoping he can crush these guys?
I would think so, and I think that's what any good management wants to do to the company. Like McDonald's and Burger King, for example. Let's just throw them out there because they're two of the most widely popular fast food chains out there.
Okay.
In theory, neither one knows at the present time they're not going to crush the other. But obviously, per what their special is, per what their sale is, if it's a 2-for-5 this or a 3-for-4 that or whatever, you're trying to one-up the other company. You just are. You want to be the biggest success in your business. And if Vince can do this, maybe without an ulterior motive, maybe with it. You know what? Screw it. If he wants to crush them, good for freaking him. Why not crush them? Why not be the top dog forever and ever? Like, I hope it succeeds. I want to succeed for my sake. But if I had stock in the WWE, like legitimate stock, not just the 3 I own because I felt like buying it one day, I would want them to crush AEW by leaps and bounds.
This is the perfect time to be a wrestling fan. This is a great time to be in the wrestling business. I talk about all of this coming up with Big Cass. We We get into everything. We get into his anxiety issues and his drinking, his release from the WWE, his seizure that was here in Philadelphia, that he had here in Philadelphia, that kind of turn this whole thing around. We get into NXT. We get into Daniel Bryan. We get into it all.
I can't wait, dude.
My one-on-one with Big Cass, the former WWE superstar, now known as Kaz XL, is coming up next. All right, joining us now is a guy I've been wanting to talk to for a while, a guy with an incredible story, a story of, well, the highest of highs and the lowest of lows and everything in between, and he's nice enough to come on and talk to us about it today. He is former WWE superstar Big Cass, now known as Kaz XL. Kaz, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, first and foremost, I want to start here. How are you doing, man, and how are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good right now. I'm doing really well. Probably the best I've felt physically and mentally in a very, very long time. And, living life right now, enjoying myself.
Beautiful, man. Great to hear it. Hey, let's do this a little differently. I want to start with the release from WWE, work up, and then we're going to jump all the way back, if that's cool.
That's cool with me, baby. Let's fucking rock it.
Wait.
Can I curse on here? Shit.
Yeah, you're all right.
All right.
All right, man. Let's roll. So let's start on June 19th, 2018, a day I'm sure you will remember forever, just like I'll always remember January 9th, 2009. It's the day you got released. A lot led up to that day, and you've been quoted as saying in the past, if you were the WWE, you would have released me too. Can you expand on that and why you felt that way?
Yeah, I became just a huge liability. I was out of control. I was unpredictable. When you go off script on live television, that was, probably strike one.
Right.
And, then I just kept causing problems, and I let drinking, get in the way of me being professional overseas, mm-hmm. on European tour. And, I became very unpredictable. They didn't know what I was going to do, and I was a liability. You never know how much money I could have cost the company or what kind of sponsorships I could have lost them,
sure.
by doing something dumb. So, yeah, they had to get rid of me. They had no other option. I don't think they – I think they felt bad about it, to be honest with you, but they had no other option. They had to get rid of me.
Leading up to this, you had a meeting with the old man. You had a meeting with Vince, and the release is on its way. What is your relationship with Vince at this point in time?
This point, I haven't talked to him since.
Right before the release, when you had your meeting with him.
Oh, I mean, it was a very good relationship. Obviously, kind of rocky at that point because,
sure.
of some of the trouble that I'd been causing. But we had a very good relationship. We sat down, we chatted for a while, and honestly, I mean, he started the conversation off with, I'm going to have to let you go. And then we just kept chatting, and we really didn't chat about wrestling, to be honest with you. We just chatted about life. And and then we left very amicably. And when I left the building, he told me to leave the building with my head held high. And he said I had a lot to be proud of. And I feel like the door is open. So, but since then, haven't talked to him. And I think that was by design. I think it was that he wanted to let me go, into the real world. And he wants to see what I'm doing on my own. And I truly believe that he's probably keeping tabs on me.
I'd be willing to bet the same thing. Now, at this point, you're meeting with Vince and the release is coming, or it did come in that meeting. If it's not too invasive, how bad is the drinking during this time period?
It got a lot worse.
It got worse after the fact.
Yeah, got a lot worse. It got worse because I had no responsibilities anymore. Really, for 3 months, I had no responsibilities whatsoever.
Right.
So when I was with WWE, I'd come off the road Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I could drink all I wanted. But I had to get up on Saturday morning, hop on a flight, and mm-hmm. I had a responsibility to WWE and the fans to perform at the highest of levels. So once Friday came around, I was like, hey, you got to chill out because tomorrow you got to start going on the road and you got to perform. And at that point in time, I was in main event matches with Daniel Bryan. So it was not it wasn't like standing on the apron for 8 minutes,
right.
and blowing a comeback and calling it a night. So, it was pretty bad, but it was mostly Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But then after the release, it was, Monday through Sunday. I could do whatever the fuck I wanted. So
we're gonna get to Daniel Bryan here in a second. But you made mention a couple seconds ago. Saturday morning comes around and you have to get on a flight. Was it hard for you to wean off of it and get your head straight and because I can relate to having to catch a flight and be on the road and was that hard for you to tunnel vision towards this next loop and get through it?
No, I at that point in time, I never had withdrawals or anything because I wasn't drinking as much. Like eventually I got to the point where if I didn't drink for a few hours, my hand would start shaking because
right.
I was withdrawing from alcohol so bad. But at that point in time, I wasn't drinking enough to even have withdrawals. So Friday would come around and be like, all right, hit the gym and then have some drinks. But you need to be in bed by midnight because you got to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go do this loop. I had a schedule that I was on. Come home Wednesday, drink as much as you want. Thursday, same thing. And then Friday was when I had to kind of get my head straight. So it wasn't very difficult. And like I said, after the release and having no responsibilities, that's when I kind of went completely off the rails.
So drinking isn't the only portion of this story. Anxiety is going to be a huge part of your story, as we're going to see as we keep going through here. And you've made mention in the past that TVs were the worst for you. Were you ever able to pinpoint or attribute anything to where all of that comes from and why you have such a big case of it?
There's so much. I don't know. When you have anxiety, and anybody out there that suffers knows, like, your mind starts to play tricks with you. And, like, you just see so many people at TV, and then you'll have an interaction with somebody important. And they don't seem enthused, or they don't say hello to you the way that you think that someone that likes you would say hello.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk away from that conversation. You start thinking, oh my God, did I say something stupid? Did I do something stupid last week? Why is that person, being short with me this week? And then you're interacting with so many people that this constantly keeps happening on a Monday or Tuesday when you're at TV. So then you're going the whole day and all these interactions are happening. Where you start to question everything and you really kind of lose your mind. So there were points at TV where I'd get to the building. I'd literally ask the building to let me up into a skybox or a suite. And I would just sit up in the suite and read or go on the internet and be by myself up in a suite for hours at a time because I didn't want to see anybody.
So you're going through all this and you're getting yourself back to where you want to be. And most people, would just go on their way and handle their issues. But you've chosen to speak openly about all of this, including even, coming on the show today. Why is it so important for you to let your story be known?
I think that more people need to open up about it. And I have a bit of a spotlight on me. I'm not the biggest star in the world. I don't have like 100 million followers on Instagram or anything like that. But I feel like there's a bit of a spotlight on me, and I feel like more people need to start talking about it because there's people out there in very important places in a public eye that suffer with anxiety and suffer with depression. They don't speak openly about it because there's a stigma that, like, you're a weak, you're a pussy, you can't cut it, you can't make it. But yet these people are in very successful people, and they've done it. So if they speak openly about it, and they're in the spot that they've gotten to while suffering with this. I mean, it starts to open people's eyes and the stigma starts to be smashed that, yeah, it is a problem, but it's a problem that could be dealt with and you could still succeed at whatever you want to succeed at. So I felt like me speaking openly about it could kind of open some people's eyes, especially wrestling fans. And I feel like it was a very good decision because I did have doubts about opening up about it, but once I did, the Instagram messages flooded in, and I'm getting hundreds a day of people watching my story and, talking to me about how I've inspired them or asking me for advice because they can't even talk to their mom or their dad. I have so many people that say, my dad's old school. I can't open up to him. I can't talk to anybody. And they're talking to me, and they're asking me for advice, and I'm no doctor. By any means, I don't have an MD. I'm not a psychiatrist, but if I'm the only person that they want to talk to about it, then that's their decision, and I'm there to help them out. So speaking openly about it, let the floodgates open to people interacting with me and asking me for advice. So I just feel like more people need to talk about it to smash that stigma that you're weak or you're not going to make it in the world if you have this, if you suffer with these issues.
One thing we haven't talked about yet, and if it's okay, I want to talk about it right now. December 2018, you suffered a seizure in Philadelphia at a House of Hardcore show, which is promoted by Tommy Dreamer at the 2300 Arena. The little bit that you and I have spoke back and forth through text, I haven't told you this yet, so full disclosure. I was 3 feet away when it happened. I was at the merchandise table. I was standing next to Robbie E., and I'll never forget the minutes that that came after that. I was also the one who packed your bag in the locker room and gave it to Doug, and we'll talk about Doug in a minute. What do you remember about that event, if anything at all?
I remember the whole day up until... So I remember waking up, going to the signing. I was withdrawing bad from alcohol. I remember signing autographs, and my hand was shaking. And, I did the signing in the morning, had a little break, did another signing in the afternoon. Then I went with Gangrel and a bunch of other people to go eat at the diner nearby. We came back, and then I went out for the pre-show signing, did that, and then I came to the back and started getting ready for my segment, which was supposed to happen right after intermission.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was like right after intermission I was coming out, so I had the routine of I have to get my hair wet and everything, so I went over to Gorilla. I put my comb down and my water bottles, which I dump over my head right before I go out,
mm-hmm.
and I set them up right by the entrance. That's the last thing I remember. So I did walk out there to the merchandise table or the signing table.
Mm-hmm.
I did all that, but none of that is in my memory. I don't remember any of it.
Did you have a support system in place after this happened? Who was the first to reach out to you and see if you, how you were doing and if you were all right?
A lot of people reached out, but Doug was right there. Doug was there at the event.
He wasn't too far away from me, if I remember correctly.
Yes. So Doug was in the emergency room with me. So he was the first person, and he was, he took my phone and he was talking to people for me. But yeah, so many people reach out. Obviously, parents start freaking out and, they're panicking. And but yeah, a lot of people reached out, friends and family. I have such a great support network of friends at home in New York that have my back through everything. And everybody reached out, and a lot of former coworkers reached out. And then some former coworkers didn't reach out, and I'll remember those people.
Sure.
People that I would have expected to reach out. And yeah, it was just, I had a great support network, but it started with Doug. He was right there, and then he was there in the emergency room with him. And then right after, I went to Delaware to go live with him. So Doug was number one right there.
So we keep mentioning the name Doug, and it's a name you're going to hear quite often throughout your story. I've known Doug Lawson for a real long time, and you're not going to find a better human being. But to the wrestling fan, Doug Lawson is a name where people are going to go, who? Tell me about Doug Lawson, his role in all of this, and what he's done for you.
And to comment on what you just said, I've gotten after Doug recently because his name keeps getting mentioned. And like I posted that picture of me looking in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to thank him and DDP, and he doesn't have a Twitter handle. So make sure you get on his ass too. He needs social media.
This
man
is a long ongoing battle that he and I have been having for the longest time. He has Facebook, but I mean, I've told him more times than I can count on my hands in the past that he would absolutely kill the Instagram game.
Yeah. So he needs to get Instagram. So Doug, I'm sure you're listening to this. Get on there, dude.
Doug, but get anyway. Instagram, man. Take it from us.
His name is Doug Lawson. he's an autograph broker for a lot of NFL Hall of Famers. He's really good friends with Michael Strahan, and he does business with Deion Sanders, Ray Lewis, so many fucking NFL guys, Tony Gonzalez. But he was at an autograph signing with one of his NFL guys, and I forget who it was, but he was at an autograph signing with one of his NFL guys, and I was doing the same signing. And he's a wrestling fan, but he was an Enzo and Cass fan.
He's a huge fan, yes.
Yeah, and he circled the room three times, and something told him, something in the world, in the universe, and God, if you don't believe in God, well, that something in the universe told him he needed to talk to me. So he came over to my table, and he just said that I was depressed, and I was insulted, and I wanted him to get the fuck away from that table.
Sure.
And then he was just like, the guy that I'm looking at right now is a fraction of the guy I used to watch on television. And then I opened up to him and told him everything I've been going through, depression on a daily basis and drinking. And he just told me, hey, I want you to come live with me in Delaware, and I'm going to get you sober, and I'm going to get you in the best shape of your life. So right after the seizure, I went to go live with him in Delaware. And that's exactly what happened.
Did you feel these episodes, Kaz, were some sort of sign saying, you know, you, now or never to turn this thing around?
Yeah, I believe it was God talking to me. God was telling me, you're going to die if you keep living like this. So I could have killed you tonight, but here, taste this. Boom.
All right.
And see if you want to change your life. And I did want to change my life. And I believe God, you know, if you believe in God, if you don't, I believe my life could have been taken that night, but I feel like there's a higher calling for me. So it was just a little taste. It was like, here, boom, you're almost dead. This is what's going to happen if you keep drinking. But I have bigger plans for you. So fix your motherfucking life. And that's exactly what I think happened. And yeah, I had to fix my life. And I feel like that was the sign. Like, turn your life around or you're going to be dead.
So back in 2017, you did tear your ACL, which put you on the shelf for about 8 months in a match with Enzo on Raw. Do you feel like that injury and having all that time contributed to the lifestyle you were in?
I mean, it contributed, but this has been going on for a long time before then. Going back probably a year before that. Suffering in silence, depression, waking up every morning with bad anxiety and being depressed all throughout the day and drinking and self-medicating. This has been going on for a very, very long time, even going back to NXT. And I never told anybody, and I, you know, walked around and pretended everything was okay when it wasn't. But yeah, the time off definitely, it gave me, again, I had no responsibilities. So besides rehab every morning.
Sure.
But yeah, the drinking was out of control while I was injured. And then I needed to get myself back in great shape because I had to come back in great shape. So when New Year's was rolling around, I was like, fuck, man, you gotta quit this shit and you got to fucking get on the straight and narrow, or at least more on the straight and narrow, and focus on coming back. But yes, those months off, I was a miserable person, man. Nobody wanted to be around me. I was bringing everybody down. So negative and drinking. And then nobody wants to talk to anybody like that. No one wants to interact with that person because it's just going to, it's cancerous, and that spreads to other people and then they become negative. So yeah, I was in a really bad place, I would say.
So I do want to transition over into some wrestling. We mentioned Daniel Bryan earlier, and you come back from that ACL injury and are paired up with him right away. Daniel, for my money, is one of the best in-ring performers, period. And
I think he's the best. I would say he's the best.
You're not going to get an argument from me. He's an even better person, if you know, which should be said. Talk about your experiences with Bryan, and had the release not went down. Any idea where you were headed post Daniel Bryan?
I have no idea. I know I was told that I was going to be working with Bryan at the Superstar Shakeup, and then me and him got together in the hotel parking lot the next day. So by chance, he was at the same hotel. We're both Marriott guys. Shout out to Marriott. So I'm in the parking lot, and we chatted, and yeah, I was really excited to start working with him. And then working with him every week and on house shows also, like, eventually I opened up to him because, you know, I trusted him, and I told him, you know, everything I've been going through. So professionally and entertainment-wise, he helped me leaps and bounds get better. But as a person, he was there for me and helped me get through that time as much as he could.
Yeah, he's a wonderful human being. There's not enough good words in the English language that I can use to describe Daniel Bryan. Hey, I briefly want to touch on NXT, and one of my favorite videos that I have seen, and it sticks out so clearly in my mind, is when you and Enzo were told by Hunter after the takeover that year that you were starting Monday on the main roster. Disbelief and excitement there that I saw really leaves a lasting impression, and you know, I can relate to that. I'll never forget where I was when I got the call that I was starting on the main roster. Take me into that moment. For you, is it a sigh of relief? Is it, you know, now the real work begins? You know, talk to me about that.
Yeah, it was just surreal. And it's like a moment of everything that goes through your head is like all those blow-up drills, all those promo classes, all everything was worth it. Like in those moments back in FCW and in the Performance Center when you're like, God damn it, like, you know, we have to do blow-up drills again.
Right.
You know, and do all these drills and promo classes that went 4 hours sometimes. it all kind of was worth it. And that's kind of like, it was just like everything was worth it. And it's just excitement because you've been preparing your whole life for that. So it was excitement, doubt, like, is this really, really happening? Like, is this actually happening? And then, yeah, I guess a sigh of relief and I guess affirmation that everything you've been through, you know, was worth it.
When you look back at the body of work that yourself and Enzo did in NXT, what are you most proud of at the end of the day?
Man, personally, for me, the singing contest with Aiden English was one of my proudest moments. That was when Enzo was hurt, and he got hurt, and it was like, let's see what Cass can do, you know, on his own, without him. And I knew I could sing, so I pitched this idea to Dusty, and he's like, well, in promo class, sing a song about Aiden English. I said, okay. And so I did that. And I guess Ryan Ward, who's the head writer of NXT at the time, saw it and they booked it. And that was when people realized, shit, this guy has charisma. This guy can do it on his own. He's valuable as a commodity, as a singles competitor. So that was what I was proud of, you know, as a singles competitor. And as a tag team, man, you know, our promos were so good. Probably in matches with Dash and Dawson. The one at
those guys are so good.
Yeah, Takeover London and then Roadblock. Those were the two that, and the Roadblock match was extra special because I don't know if it was like a test to see if Enzo and myself could be over in front of a main roster crowd or a main roster card or what it was, but they needed an NXT match on the show, and they chose Dash Dawson Enzo Cass to be the match on that show, which. We were proud of that they chose us four to like represent NXT on that main roster pay-per-view or semi-pay-per-view, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, the matches with Dash and Dawson are what I'm probably most proud of as a tag team.
Sticking with NXT for just a little while longer, with the news coming down this morning, not sure if you heard, but NXT will now be airing weekly Wednesdays on the USA Network starting September 18th. Are you shocked it took so long? And, you know, do you think this will lead to guys having full careers in NXT as opposed to, you know, being moved to Raw or SmackDown?
It's definitely going to lead to guys having careers just in NXT. I mean, now they're on a national platform. What network is it airing on?
It's on the USA Network.
Wow.
And they're expanding to 2 hours.
They're extending to 2 hours.
2 hours, yes, sir.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of content. Man, that's a lot of wrestling in 1 week. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I like the 2 hour, because NXT is very special, because
sure,
it's 1 hour. But I understand you got to get your stars from NXT on every episode, because when it's an hour, there's some mega stars that are missing from certain episodes. Wow, I mean, yeah, I think that's definitely going to help some guys just have a career in NXT. And to be honest with you, I feel like it's going to also make the main roster not seem as big of a goal for people that are at the Performance Center.
You know, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, because once they get onto the USA Network, they're on television.
Yeah. I never thought of it that way. That's an interesting way to think about it.
Yeah, what's the difference now between the main roster and NXT?
Well, this legitimately makes, I mean, not that it wasn't, but, NXT was still, in some eyes, always looked in some form or fashion as developmental. You can no longer even think of it that way anymore. You couldn't before, but now you really can't, because with this being on national television now, this officially makes NXT the third brand of the WWE.
100%. And like I said, I don't know if guys are going to even want to go to the main roster.
The funny thing about NXT moving to Wednesdays is there's a new company that's getting a lot of buzz with a lot of exposure that is going to be on TV over on TNT at the same time come October, which is AEW. Have you had a chance to see any of their product yet, and what are your thoughts?
I've seen everything they've done.
Talk to me about it.
I am very excited to see what happens once they transfer over to TV. I've watched everything they've done. I liked everything I saw, and it's going to be an exciting time for the boys and the female competitors, because now they have somewhere else to go. And it's going to be a really exciting time, more importantly, for the fans.
An exciting time indeed all around, which brings me to my next question. In your opinion, with there being so many options out there now, as we just talked about, Raw, SmackDown, and now NXT on USA, AEW on TNT, New Japan on Access, and, you know, whatever else you find on your streaming services, Are we on the verge of another boom period in the industry, Cass?
I think so. I think I would say, like, the negative would be that there's too much content out there wrestling-wise, but the content is going to be really good because now there's competition. So everybody's going to have to step their game up. So the competition is going to just breed success in the wrestling industry. So I do feel like we're on the brink of a huge boom in wrestling, which is exciting as a free agent competitor, for sure. It's very exciting for me to see that. But yeah, like I said, more importantly, it's more exciting for me as a fan. It's going to be really, really cool.
I brought up New Japan a couple seconds ago, and yourself and Enzo made a surprise appearance on their show over WrestleMania weekend that they shared with Ring of Honor, which took place in the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. Packed house. Talk to me about how it felt to be back in MSG.
I've been to MSG countless times as a fan, whether it's for concerts, wrestling, games. I'd never performed at Madison Square Garden.
Interesting.
When I was on Raw, every house show there was SmackDown.
Of course.
When I was injured, Raw got all the house shows there. So I had never performed in Madison Square Garden.
So that was your MSG debut?
Correct.
How did it feel?
I made a hell of a debut.
I'd say so.
It felt amazing. It was a legitimate fight between four or five guys just chucking bombs and throwing hands and doing everything to survive. It was a legitimate street fight. It wasn't a orchestrated New York City street fight. That was a legit New York City street fight between four guys. And it made a hell of an impact, because I'll tell you this, Enzo and Cass trended number one worldwide on Twitter, and that's over the Hall of Fame, Bret Hart's attack, the Supercard itself, Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the NCAA Final Four.
Wow.
And what's interesting about that is our segment wasn't even televised. So we trended number one worldwide over all those things, and it wasn't even on TV.
Man.
So that's definitely making an impact right off the bat.
I've got to tell you, there's not many things, obviously, that surprise me in wrestling anymore. And being able to keep a secret like Enzo and Cass appearing on that show is fantastic. When I saw that, I about jumped out of my chair. I was beyond taken back, never expected it, never thought it was coming. And it was really, really, really awesome deal. Cool to see. You mentioned being a free agent. Now that yourself and Enzo are free agents, any chance we see you guys pop up in either place sometime soon?
I'm sure. If the money's right and the opportunity comes calling and it's the right time for both of us, yeah. And also, if it's the right time for Enzo and not me, and I'm enjoying what I'm doing on the indies, and Enzo gets an offer and he goes, then I'll be on my couch cheering him on, whatever, you know, cheering him on, watching him on TV, wherever he goes, and vice versa. So, yeah, if the opportunity's right, if the money's right, the schedule's right, yeah, you could definitely see both of us together or one of us by ourselves on any one of those major wrestling shows.
So we're talking about Enzo, and you know, you guys have been making some appearances together, and if you were to believe everything that's out there, because trust me, we know everything on social media and the internet is always true, but if you
especially
were,
in wrestling.
Oh, especially wrestling Twitter is better than anything I've ever seen. So
it's always accurate.
Everything
always
on there is 1,000% true. But if you believe
shout out to Dave Meltzer, he always gets it right.
Every single time.
Yep.
If you were to believe all of that, the relationship between you guys wasn't always the best. Where do you guys stand today?
We're best friends. He's actually staying with me right now. He slept on my couch in Tampa last night. We flew down to Tampa. We had a show Sunday in Scranton, PA. Shout out Michael Scott, Dwight Schrute, Jim and Pam. We had a show in Scranton. And then we drove back up to New York, stayed in Queens. I stayed with my moms on Sunday night. And then we flew out together Monday morning to do a podcast in Tampa. And he stayed with me last night. He's staying with me again. So, yeah, we're best friends, doing everything together. And, it's away from business side of things in terms of our personal relationship. We're better than we've ever been.
Kaz, last question. Throughout all the ups and the downs, you've been to the mountaintop and saw the view from the best seat possible. You've also seen what rock bottom is like. Now back on track and hitting the ground running, what lies ahead for the future of Kaz XL?
Future of Kaz XL is I'm not going to stop until I'm the number one name in the wrestling industry. And I damn near saw death in December. When something like that happens to you, you don't become afraid of death anymore. So when you're not afraid of death, you're not really afraid of anything. So nothing really scares me, to be honest with you. So you're going to have to kill me to stop me. Literally kill me dead in order to stop me. And I'm not going to stop until I'm the top name in the wrestling industry. And people can listen to this interview and say, he's crazy. And they could say, what an idiot or whatever. But they're going to look back at this interview in 2 years, 3 years, and they say, God damn it, he was right. So everybody out there who doubts me, who doubted me after I had the seizure and I was out of shape and wrote terrible things to me on Twitter, everybody that said I was done with wrestling, I'm proving them wrong now. So those same people, you want to run your mouth again and say that whatever I'm saying right now, I'll never be the top name in wrestling. Keep running your mouth because that shit fuels me, lights a fire under me. So you're going to look like the idiot 2 years from now when I am the top name in wrestling.
An unbelievable interview with Kaz XL. So open and honest. My thanks to him for coming on the show today. Please give him a follow on Twitter at TheKazXL, C-A-Z-X-L. While you're at it, follow us on Twitter as well, at Smarks and Stripes. Don't forget, head on over to iTunes, Spotify, 94WIP.com, wherever you get your podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe. Till next week, I'm Kevin Keenan. This has been Smarks and Stripes, powered by Radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.